So if you'll stand and turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Give everyone an opportunity to find your place there. Four times in the Pauline epistles, you will find where the Apostle Paul breaks out into prayer for the churches and to whom he's writing. This is one of those prayers, and as we were praying tonight, God laid this prayer on my heart, and I want to share it with you, and this is my prayer for Fellowship Baptist Church. We'll begin our reading in verse number 14, and I'd like for you to follow along. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 14, Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And here's some of his petitions on behalf of that church, and this is my petition for you tonight, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And all God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. Now we'll take our Bibles and turn to Leviticus. That's just something God had laid on my heart for you. I pray that God would grant that to you. It would be a reality in your life. That's my prayer. As I, week after week, field phone calls and texts and emails, and as I sit in the prayer room and listen to the people bare their hearts, it's overwhelming to realize that we're a very needy people, but we have a God who meets the needs of His people. And we need to learn what it is to take our petition before the Lord. And I believe that we, as a people, do that. Leviticus, we're going to look in chapter 8, 9, and 10 tonight. And I'm just going to just go down through some verses and talk with you some about some truths out of these verses. But before we do, I was thinking this week, Monday, Tuesday, and again a little bit today, some of the things that we've talked about. And so I wrote down some questions, and I want you to, if you'd like, you can get out a pen, piece of paper, and write down the answer to these, see how you do, or you can just answer them in your mind. That might be probably the better way for some of you. That way you can cheat. Amen. Once you write it down, you can't change it, right? Listen, you know, when I was in school, I initially I hated tests, but I grew to love tests because I realized tests helped me find out where I was. You know, in that subject, it helped me find out what my strengths were, my weaknesses, and so I've grown to understand that tests are good for us, and so I want to just give you a little test here. All right? Question number one. You answer these in your mind, or you can answer them on the piece of paper. According to the book of Leviticus, we have studied five offerings. What are those offerings? Now, you either do it in your mind or write it on a piece of paper. All right? There's five. Now, these are not the only offerings, but they're the offerings that are mentioned in chapters 1 through 7 of the book of Leviticus. We've looked at the offerings, the law of these offerings. What are these offerings? It's important. What are these five offerings? Can you think of one, two, three, four, all five of them? Just write them down there. All right? We'll go over these in just a moment. Number two, question number two. When the people brought these offerings, as we studied in Leviticus chapter number one and throughout some other of the chapters, they were told to bring them to an individual at a certain place. What was that individual? What was his title? And what place were they told to bring that offering? What place were they to bring their offerings? All right? Question number three. There are three offices, main offices in Israel of leadership that were anointed. What are those three offices? God chose for these three offices that the leaders in these offices be anointed. What are these three offices in Israel? All right? What are they? We talked about this just last week. Actually, I think we talked about it 2 weeks in a row. What are those three offices? Question number four. What is the difference between a prophet and a priest? What is the difference between a prophet and a priest? I want you to listen very carefully to this question. I'm not asking you who the first priest in the Bible was. I'm asking you who the first named high priest in the Bible. And it's right here in the book of Leviticus. We studied it. What's his name? All the priests come from his family, the sons of this man. There's another priest mentioned before in the book of Genesis, Melchizedek. But who's the high priest in the book of Leviticus over Israel? What is his name? I could tell you who his brother was, but then I would give it away since he only had one. All right. What tribe, question number six, what tribe did the priest come from? The tribe of what? What tribe? 12 tribes in Israel. What tribe do the priests come from? God made that very specific. What tribe? Do you answer that one in your head? Who wrote the first five books of the Bible? The first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch. Who wrote them? Who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Humanly speaking. Okay, who's the human author? Somebody's going to write the Holy Spirit. I feel it. All right? First five books of the Bible? Who wrote them? The Pentateuch. By the way, there's 39 books in the Old Testament, right? Did you know there's a perfect division of those books? There's 17 historical books, and those 17 books are broken down in 5 and 12, right? You have the first five books, and then after that, Joshua through Esther, you have 12 historical books. And then you have what's called the middle five. These are experiential books. Job, right? Through the Song of Solomon. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Those are the five experiential books. And then you have 17. So you have 17. Genesis through Esther, those 17 are broken down into 5, the Pentateuch, the law, and then 12, the historical books, and then you have what's called the middle 5, and then you have 17. They're prophetical, right? You have what's called 5. Now, God didn't call these 5 major prophets and 12 minor prophets, right? But we coined them as that, 5 major prophets, and you know, Isaiah, right? Through Daniel, and then the minor prophets, beginning with Hosea and goes through Malachi. So you have 5:12 at 17, and then middle 5, and then 5:12 again. 5 major, 12 minor prophets. All right? So there's 39 books. They're broken down in that way, and then you can just keep breaking it down. So, again, who wrote the first 5 books? What are the first 5 books? Write them down. What are the first 5 books? Or just go through your mind. Genesis, you know, right on through. Right? All right, we're about to finish it up. Question number next. When Moses went to the Mount Sinai, God gave him the law. We call it the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Okay? But God also gave him something else. And oftentimes it's overlooked. What else did God give him? He gave him the blueprint of a very important structure. And oftentimes when you mention about Moses going to the Mount Sinai and meeting with God there, the only thing that's mentioned is him bringing down the tables of stone, the law. But God also gave him something very important. We've studied it and talked about why God gave him, what it represented, or who it represented, really, each article. So what was that name of that structure that God gave Moses the blueprint of there in Mount Sinai? And then finally, we said that the book of Exodus, God gets his people out of Egypt. In the book of Leviticus, God gets what? What did we say God does? He gets what? All right? Let's see how you did. How many of you think you got every one of them right? A couple of people. All right, a few people. Let's see. We'll go backward. The book of Exodus, God gets his people out of Egypt. The book of Leviticus, God gets Egypt out of his people. The book of Leviticus is about worship. It's about walk. It's about sacrifice in the first 17 chapters, and it's about separation in the latter chapters, 17 through 28. In the first chapter, sacrifice is about relationship. In the second section, it's about fellowship. All right, sacrifice, relationship, and then separation is for fellowship. And so it's about cleaning our lives up. It's about being consecrated to God's service as priest, as believer priest. Now, in the economy of the Old Testament, these were priests who ministered on behalf of the people before the Lord. We'll talk a little bit more about that. All right, let's go backwards again. So we started with that one. That's two important things. One was the law. What was the other one? Somebody say it. The tabernacle. Got the blueprint for the tabernacle, which is very important. Very important. Okay? Though God is holy and man is sinful, and those were the reason for the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not given for the children of Israel to keep in order to gain favor with God. It was to show the children of Israel God's holiness and their sinfulness, right? And the tabernacle was showing that there could be grace extended so that there could be an approach to God. All right? The first 5 books of the Bible are, name them, Genesis, Exodus. That's right. That's right. Who wrote them? Moses. And that's what they're called, the writing of Moses or the Pentateuch. All right? Priests come from what tribe? Tribe of Levi. Who was the first high priest or the high priest that's named here in the book of Leviticus who offered the first offerings in the tabernacle? Aaron. All right? What's the difference between a prophet and a priest? Somebody tell us. A prophet what? Yes. That's right. A prophet basically speaks to men on God's behalf. And a priest speaks to God on man's behalf. All right? That's a basic difference. There's certainly others in that office. What are the 3 anointed offices in Israel? Prophet and priest, we name those. What's the third one? King, that's right. That's right. And then the 5 offerings are burnt, meat, peace, sin, trespass. Good, good. They were brought to who? The priest. At where? The door of the tabernacle. That's right. Good. All right, you were listening. That's good. It's good to listen. So I thought I would just ask you to see how you're doing. It's good to learn. You know, some people, they get to the book of Leviticus and they quit. Don't you quit. You keep reading. Keep studying. I want to talk to you tonight about some things that I feel that's going to help you some. All right? Are you in Leviticus chapter number 8? Last week, we talked about 8, 9, and 10 being chapters that go together. And chapter number 8 kind of picks up the priesthood. And I want you to follow along tonight. I think you'll get some things that are really, that'll really, I'm praying that God will allow some things to be just illuminated in your minds so that you can grasp what's taking place here. We've talked about these offerings. So you have to understand something. God gave the tabernacle. All right, but God didn't give the tabernacle just for a place where they could stand and wow. Though, when you study the construction of it, the embroidery, the curtains, when you study the tabernacle, certainly just to look at it would be a wow factor. All right, could you imagine? I want you just to think with me for a moment, because a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll read the Bible and when we won't envision or place ourselves there. And I want you to do that tonight. Okay, so here's what's happening here. God called out in Leviticus chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but he called out and he said, Moses, he said, I want you to come. And he said, this is what I want you to do. And he said, I want you to take these offerings and I want you to show how I want it done. And I want you to show Aaron and his sons, and I want them to officiate. I want them to carry out these duties. I don't want this just become a place that you just stand in awe and go, wow. You know, kind of like a lot of churches today. And I'm not opposed to a church looking beautiful. I think it ought to be. I think it ought to be clean. I think it ought to be beautiful. But you don't just build a church so people can go, wow, what a beautiful building. You know, and that's not why God gave the tabernacle. Okay, God didn't give the tabernacle so that people would just gather around and go, wow, you know, what a beautiful embroidered curtain or what a massive piece of brass that brazen altar, that laver that's just polished and shine. What a work of art. What beauty. Though no doubt it was that way. He said, I want it to be used. Now when we fast forward that to today's covenant and today's economy, God wants this house to be used. You see, God just doesn't want us to come here and go, wow. God wants us, if we're going to have a wow factor, it should be in worship, in who God is, not how the building looks. Amen. Nothing wrong with having a nice building. Don't misunderstand me. I think it's great. And I think that it ought to be the cleanest, nicest, neatest place in the community. I believe the church ought to be that way. I do. So then he says, now I want you to call these people, and I want these people from this tribe. And God had it lined out, and he said, I want these people, not just anyone now, these people from this tribe, I want them to come here, and I want you to show them and tell them how it is to be. See, God said, it's got to be a certain way. You just can't come here and do what you want to do. Now, that's what's wrong with a lot of places today. People meet, and they just do what they want to do. But let me show you something, okay? You got to follow along with me. So you're looking at chapter 8. We get to chapter 8 and God's now, he goes from the offering of the law of the offerings and he's switching to the priesthood. And he said, you've got this tabernacle and you have these animals for sacrifice, but it's still undone. It's still, listen, worship can't take place. You've got the place. You've got the tabernacle. You have that place and all of its furnishings. From the brazen altar to the laver to the table of showbread to the golden candlestick to the altar of incense and then beyond the veil, and there was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and those contents within the covenant. You have this, and then you have the animals, and God gave he gave instructions that was detailed. Got to be a male. It's going to be a burnt offering, right? It's got to be without blemish. And he gave all these distinct, detailed instructions. This is the way I want it to be. But you know what? Without the human factor. Now listen to me carefully. There's not a whole lot going to go on that's going to bring glory to God. So you've got this structure, and you have these animals that are representative of things. But then God said, now we need somebody to officiate. We need somebody that will carry out the ordinance of these things so that there can be a contact, so that there can be something that's going to contact from what this is to who I am, so that there can be some people receiving something from why these things are here. Do you see what I'm saying? So God said, we got to get some people involved. And he said, I want these to be the people. I want Aaron and his sons, and I want them from the tribe of Levi, I want them to be the priest. They're going to officiate. They're going to carry out the ordinances. And so now we can get some things going on. He said, but I got some things that there's some criteria that they have to meet. So look, if you would, in chapter number 8. The first thing I want you to notice is that God said it's going to have to be my way. I'm not going to accept it if you do not do it my way. I want you to follow with me. Now look, if you would, in verse number 4. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. I have gone in my Bible and I've highlighted every time that phrase, and it's over and over again. Let me show you what I'm saying in verse number 5. Right in the middle of the verse, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Verse number 9, the latter part of that verse, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse number 13, the latter part of that verse, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse number 17, the latter part of that verse, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse number 20, the latter part of that verse, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse number 29, the latter part of that verse, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse number 34, at the top of the verse, and he, as he had done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do. Verse number 36, the latter part of that verse, which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. You know what? God said, I want this to be done the way I said for it to be done. Right? It's important to God. Now, it ought to be important to me. It ought to be important to you. It ought to be important to God's people to know what God has said so we can do it the way God said do it. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people that says, you know what, I don't think it really matters how you do it as long as you have good intentions. We're going to read about two men tonight, we won't get into it, who probably had that mindset, God killed them. Now you say, wait a minute now, whoa, preacher, God killed them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. See, they probably had this mindset, well, you know what, I don't know that it really matters. We have good intentions, and we're going to do a good thing. We're not going to do it the way God said do it, but we're going to do something kind of along those lines, and we just think God will accept it. Well, they found out God will not accept it. And so a lot of what's called church today is not church. A lot of what's called worship today is not worship. And I want you to understand that, all right? God gave these details in this day, and he said, this is the way I want it done. Now, if we want God's blessing on our life, we're going to have to do it the way God said do it. We can't just say, well, I think, you know, the times that I've gotten in trouble in my Christian experience, it's when I start using phraseology like that. Well, now I think, I don't know that it really matters what I think. I'm going to tell you what does matter, what God said. Right? That's what matters. And so we're really skirting close to the precipice when we start making statements like, when I believe, or I think, or, well, I tell you, we really need to know what God said. And so it's very clear here that it means something that it be done the way God said do it. And so Moses was telling Aaron, and this is going to come back in a moment, so don't miss this point. Moses was telling Aaron, now Aaron, God's chosen you and your sons, and this is the way he wants it done. And that's what happens in chapter 8. So don't let that leave your mind. We'll come back there in just a moment. All right, now, notice what else happens. God says, not only am I going to tell you that I want it done a certain way, I'm going to tell you the way I want it done. And so I want you to look down in verse number 6, and the Bible says in chapter 8, verse number 6, that Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, that's something. Now, what happened here? God said, I want all the people to come out. If you'll notice, back in verse number 3 of chapter 8, look at this. He said, gather thou all the congregation together into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, whether you accept the fact that this was everyone that just stood around and got on heels and looked, or where you thought it was the elders, it doesn't matter. There was a mass of people there, okay? There was a mass of people that were gathered to watch this public ordination, this public event, okay? It was public. And so I want you to put yourself there. So here you are, and you've got, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of what people think that the tabernacle looked like, that they have taken the scriptural instructions that were given. I mean, this place was beautiful, and it was just something to behold. And so you have the priest, and they're dressed in the garb that God said dress them in, and they have on the high priest, he had on his garb, and the priest had on theirs. And so here they are, and here's all the people, and you're looking and you're thinking, okay, wow, this is something. You know, God's getting ready to show up. Right? You understand? That's what was promised them. Listen, you do this God's way, and God is going to make atonement for your sin, and he's going to do so by showing up here today. So here's kind of the invitation that you get. You come to this place, and we want to show you what God's going to do, and God's going to show up here. So y'all come. So here they are. Then Moses calls Aaron, verse number, after all the people gathered there at the door of the tabernacle, verse number 3, in verse number 6, he brings Aaron and his sons, and he begins to wash them. You say, well, I don't know, what do you mean wash them? Well, he began to wash them. Now, if you write in your Bible, I want you to write this word in your Bible, cleaned. See, this is what God is saying. This is what God is showing. Hey, listen, if you're going to do my work, you're going to have to be clean. You're going to do my work now, you're going to have to be clean. You can't do my work dirty. Is that what God's saying? You better believe that's what God's saying. You say, well, preacher, I am dirty. Well, listen, God can clean you up. The blood of Jesus can cleanse away every stain. And the Word of God can clean you up too. And so this water is clean. He said, well, make you clean. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 6, I'm sorry. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. So he cleaned them. All right, made them clean. What's he saying? He's letting the people know God's work is serious. God's work is serious. And God works through clean vessels. Didn't say perfect vessels, all right? It's got to be clean. Now listen, I grew up in a day when if a young child, and I tried this, so you have to trust me, back in this day, this didn't work, would come running in from outside. You know, we played outside back then. I realize not too many children do that anymore. But back then, we played outside. Amen. Got dirty. How many of you remember that? I mean, got dirty, played outside, and then we'd get the call. You know, all of our names, the siblings, and then you'd hear your name rung out. You know, just a call out, you know, dinner's ready. And boy, I mean, listen, we would, you know why? Because we didn't, and you're going to think this is crazy, but that's all right. You know, it worked. We sit down for breakfast early in the morning. And about 5:30, 6 o'clock, all right? And we had breakfast. Now, we did not go back in the kitchen until we got dinner served. It was prohibited in my house when I was growing up to go back and just, you know, open up the refrigerator and get to looking around and I'm going to get me something. I would have got something, but it wouldn't have been from the refrigerator. Trust me. You say, oh, well, I think that's crazy. I think it's crazy what's going on in America today. I think something's not working. So we might ought to go back to some things that did work. And so you'd go out and play, right? You say, I won't stay in the house. You know what happened when you stay in the house? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. That's right. You got to put to work. Amen. So I'd rather play out and you stay in the house. I think I'm just going to stay in. Good. Here's a broom. I'll never forget one time I had some friends from high school come over and I'd done something not so smart. I'd done that a lot as a kid, not so smart. And so my mom was making me wash dishes. So here I am, a high school student, and my mom's, you know, you wash dishes. And so I got some guys coming over to play basketball, and they're out, and my brother, Wayne, he loved that stuff, you know. So here he is, I'm about the ninth grade, he's probably a senior in high school, and he goes in and says, "Hey, Dale can't come out, he's washing dishes." How many of you think that was embarrassing? Hey, amen. That might have been the first question you got right all night, but it was very embarrassing, very embarrassing. So, you know, you don't stay around the house when you go out and you play, right, after you get your shorts on. In any event, if we'd have come running in from outside and run up to that table and sit down, that didn't fly. You do not come to the dinner table dirty. You go wash up. You go wash up before you come to the dinner table. All right? What's happening here? God's saying, you're going to serve me. You're going to do my work. You're going to wash up. Clean. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. "And it put upon him a coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed." There's the next thing that has to happen. So you're going to serve God. All right? You got to be clean. Number 2, you got to be clothed. You can't do it yourself. You say, I have what it takes, preacher. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have what it takes to do God's work. God will equip you to do His work. Just like God was equipping these men to do His work, God equips us to do His work in this day and age in which we live. You understand that? You say, well, preacher, back before I got saved, I'm smart and I know a lot. That's not going to get you anywhere in God's economy. You've got to learn to do it a different way. You say, well, I'm way up here. You know where God wants you? Way down here. God wants you down here. I'm first. God said, you be last, and I'll make you first. Right? So that's the way God does His work. So, well, I'm going to do it this way. God said, no, now I want you to do it this way. Got to be clean. Is that what He said in verse number 6? Then you got to be clothed. Now, He begins to talk about the garments, and my, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to study this high priestly garment and the garments of the priest. Now, for you and I, we're priests. God has clothed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful garment we wear. Amen? We ought to radiate the beauty of Jesus Christ. Our lives ought to radiate the beauty of Jesus Christ. You say, how can that happen? Look what happens next. Verse number 12. The Bible says, Moses poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Now, oil in the Scripture is a wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And we have the anointing. You read the Scripture. 1 John chapter 2 talks about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we're going to be able to do God's work acceptable to Him. Got to be clean. Right? Got to be clean. Got to be clothed. Here you have to be anointed. You got to have the Holy Spirit's fullness in your life, in my life. If we're going to serve God in a way that pleases Him, we need the anointing. By the way, hold your place here just for a moment. I want to show you something. Turn back to Exodus chapter number 30. This anointing was just wasn't just any old kind of anointing. In Exodus chapter number 30, God said, I want you to make a special oil. All right, you're in Exodus 30. When you get there, look at verse number 30. God said, I want you to make this special oil that's for anointing. And He said, I don't want it to go for any other purpose. And He said, if you do, I will cut you off from the people. Now, this is how serious this is to God. Look at verse number 30 of Exodus 30. Exodus 30, verse number 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, this is what God was telling Moses. And then when we fast forward to Leviticus 8, this is Moses carrying it out. All right? You see, God said, this is what I want you to do. And then we have Moses doing it. Then He said this, look at it, in verse number 31. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it. He said, I don't want any other oil compounded like this oil. This is a special oil. You see what God's saying here? Everybody with me? You following? Look at what He said. I don't want any other oil like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever, verse 33, compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Now let's go back to Leviticus. So it's a special oil, and it was for the priesthood. It was for serving. It was an anointing to do the work of God. Can I tell you, we have a special anointing to do the work of God. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If we try to serve God in the energy of the flesh, it's not going to accomplish much, if anything, for the kingdom of God. There's a lot of activity going on when there should be a lot of ministry. Oftentimes, the difference between activity and ministry is the anointing. It's the anointing. So we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we have the indwelling of the Spirit. You receive that when you get saved. The anointing is something that comes with the Holy Spirit when it's asked for, and when God sees that He's getting ready to use you in a ministry, He will give you the anointing to carry out that ministry. All right? So we have here the clothed. Did you write that down? And then we have the clean, the clothed, and then the anointing. Look, if you would, in verse 22. This is very interesting. In verse number 22, Moses had told them to bring two rams, and Aaron and his sons laid their hand on the head of this ram, and then it was killed. Now, what is God saying here? Well, first of all, He's saying that even though you're going to serve Me, you're a sinner. Amen. You need a sacrifice too. Now listen carefully. This is going to help you. Please listen to me. For those who think that the preacher is sinless, you're badly mistaken. You say, "Well, I know a preacher and he never sinned." Don't kid yourself, friend. I'm not excusing sin in the life of any individual. But what is God showing here? He's showing you have to be clean now. You have to be clothed. You need the anointing. But then if you'll look with me in verse number 22, we'll go back to verse 18 of chapter 8. And He brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and He killed it. And He began to sprinkle the blood round about. And He began to do everything that God said do with that offering in the latter part of verse 21, as the Lord commanded him. Now what is this showing? It's showing this. It's showing that yes, Aaron and his sons were called to serve God in that office of priesthood, but that doesn't mean they were perfect. They were sinners. They too needed God's forgiveness. They too needed a sacrifice. But now here I think is an even greater lesson to learn from that. Could you imagine how they felt as person after person after person came to the door of the tabernacle bringing offerings? They were probably thinking, man, these people are like sinners. all these sin offerings. And then God would remind them, yeah, they're sinners, just like you. Just like you. You needed an offering too, Aaron. And to all those who were in that office of priesthood, God was reminding them, you needed an offering too. Now, why is that important? You know what can happen in the Christian life? Now, we're all priests. Can I tell you, you had to lay your hand on the head of one of those offerings too. You had to go to Jesus just like the next man had to go to Jesus in order to receive the cleansing and the clothing and the anointing, right? So how's that going to help us today? As we are serving together, as we are worshiping together, as we are as a body of Christ, we need to be mindful that there should go I if it wasn't for the grace of God. You know, you never know. So somebody comes to you and they tell you, listen, I've messed up. I've fallen. And I want you to pray for me. What are you going to do? Just say, man, I can't believe you've done that. You're just an old sinner. Don't forget, you are too. Again, I'm not excusing sin. But we all have to keep in mind, if we're going to have the spirit of unity and we're going to serve God in a way that God deserves and desires to be served, then we're going to have to remember we're sinners serving sinners. Now, we're saved in the grace of God. We've been called with a holy calling. We have the anointing, but we don't ever want to get so high and mighty to where we're looking down on the people that God has us serving. Amen. I know of nothing that will kill a ministry. I know of nothing that will bring division in a people than that mindset. I'm up here above the people. I'm better than they are. You're no better than anyone. You ought to esteem yourself. You ought to humble yourself and not esteem yourself higher than any man. Amen. Is that what the Bible teaches, brethren? So you want to be used of God? Don't get the attitude that you're better than others, or just because you haven't committed their sin, that you're somehow better than they are. And again, I want to make it very clear. I'm not excusing sin. God judges sin. But I am saying that God had this for a purpose. I know people that let me give you an illustration here, okay? I don't smoke. I know that probably comes as a surprise to some of you. But I don't smoke. I do know people that are saved who do smoke. I don't think they should smoke. I think smoking will kill you. It really doesn't matter if I think it will kill you or not. The Surgeon General said, and it's written on the side of every pack that they sell in our stores today, that it will kill you. Now, how am I to treat people who say they're saved that smoke? Am I to talk them down and to run them down and say, well, I tell you, I'm better than they are because I don't smoke and they smoke? Well, preacher, I don't think you should do that. Do you? Do you do that? Oh, I don't do that, preacher. Really? Really? Do you know there's people that look down on other people for some of the things that would just absolutely, it would just make your mind spin? They think they're better than those people. Listen, I'm not saying that God doesn't have a standard. God has a standard, folks, right? God has a standard, and God expects that standard to be met. But just because you are different than someone, or they are different than you, that doesn't make you better than them. And so this is what God was showing here. Listen, Aaron, you and your sons, you're sinners too. But God's saying, I can use sinners. Aren't you glad God can use sinners? If He couldn't, none of us would be used. All right? So let's hasten on. Look at verse 22. So they brought this other ram. They had two rams, okay? One was to show we're sinners just like the people and we need an offering. And then they brought this ram. I want you to write this word down, okay? Have you written down the word cleansed? Have you written down the word clothed in verse number 7? Cleansed in verse number 6, clothed. Look at verse 22. Write down the word consecrated. Now here's a word that we ought all be very familiar with. He said, this ram is the ram of consecration. God is going to set you apart for a particular ministry. All right? Now, in this day, God called and He said, I want you to do this. I want this tribe to do this. I want this people to do this. In our dispensation, in the church age, in the grace dispensation, God gives people, when He saves them, with spiritual gifts and abilities. You can read about those in Ephesians, in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God gives all of His children with spiritual abilities. If you're saved, you have a spiritual ability, a spiritual talent, a spiritual gift that God has given you to serve Him. Amen. So you need to be using that gift. Now exercise that gift. It's important. Now look, it says, and Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon this ram, on the head of this ram. Now this wasn't so that they would realize we're sinners. This was to say we are being set apart for a service. Now watch what happens here. Good stuff. Look at verse number 23. He slew it. And Moses took the blood of it, in verse number 23, and he put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear. All right? And then upon the thumb of his right hand, and then upon the great toe of his right foot. So there's three areas that God told Moses, I want you to put blood on. All right? The tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot. Now, it's very easy to see what's happening here. If you'll just read on in verse number 23, he brought in his sons and he done the same thing. After he did that, notice what he did at the latter part of verse number 23. He took that blood, Moses did, what was left of that blood that he put on the right ear, put on the right thumb and the right toe. What did he do with that blood? Verse 24 says that he sprinkled that blood upon the altar round about. He's connecting, he's marrying these men to the altar. What's he say? What's he doing here? He's saying, listen, the altar's your friend. You're going to need the altar. You're going to serve God. You're going to please God. You're going to do a work. You're going to need the altar. It's got to be, listen, it's got to be sanctified. And this is where you need to be. I get concerned about people who have no devotional life and want to be used by God. God will never use you until you get a devotional life. Now listen to me very carefully. Until you learn what it is to read your Bible on a regular, faithful basis, until we know what it is to spend time alone with God in the prayer room, in the secret place, until we got to work that out ourselves now. Listen, the preacher can't make you do it. And even if I could, I wouldn't. See, it's got to be something that comes from your heart. You've got to realize, I need God. I can't do this without God. I can't serve God without His help. And that's what is being shown here. The altar. The altar. Do you have an altar? Do you have an altar? Where you go and talk to God and God talks to you? Where you open up His Word and God speaks to you just like I'm speaking to you right now? And God speaks in your heart and He tells you what He wants you to do. He tells you what direction to take. He tells you, listen, God will tell you what job to work. God will tell you what house to live in. God will tell you what church to attend. God will tell you, listen, God will tell you the things in your life. Well, you know, preacher, I just don't think God's that really, that personal. I'm glad my Savior's personal. Can I tell you, God wants to get personal with you. So what's it mean to put the blood on the tip of the ear? What do you think it means? It means that God wants to make sure that your hearing is consecrated. It's sanctified. You can't just listen to anything and work for God. I didn't say you can't just listen to anything and be saved. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're talking about a difference here. You want to be set apart for God? You want to do something for the Lord? You want to serve Jesus with your life? Do I want that in my life? Do I want the anointing? Do I want to make an impact on people? Do I want to get involved in the priest of serving? Then I've got to consecrate my hearing. I've got to be careful what I listen to. I need to hear God when He speaks. Aren't you glad for people in your life that listen to God? Aren't you glad for the times in your life when you were listening to God? Could you imagine where we would be if we didn't listen to God? You do listen to God, right? Sure you do. You wouldn't be saved if you didn't listen to God. You have to listen to God to get saved, but that's not where it stops. The blood on the ear. You got to be listening. Then the blood on the thumb. The hand is representative of the work. When people think of work, they think of hands. So not only does God concerned about the word in the ear, but the work of the hands. See, God's concerned. He's put blood on the thumb. This is important. The work. What about the toe? The walk. See, God's concerned about these things. And so He says, this is the way I want. All right? So He says, you're going to serve, you're going to do it this way. Now, let me give you one more truth and we'll be through tonight. Okay? So here we have it. These people have gathered around, and Moses called them over and he said, this is what's going to happen. And he begins to go through this ceremony. And he calls Aaron. He does this ceremony with him. Then he calls his sons and he goes through it. And then he anoints the tip of their right ear. Right here in verse number 23 and 24. The tip of Aaron's right ear, the thumb on his right hand, and the great toe of his right foot. Which speaks of, as I say, of God's word and God's work and God's ways. But then he sprinkles it about the altar. And he's saying, fellas, you'll never do the work that God has called you to do if you don't have a devotional life. You know why people quit in the ministry? You know why people quit church and quit serving God in their life? Their devotional life. Their devotional life. I can't tell you how important it is for you to set aside a time, every one of you, Every Christian ought to have a time when they spend some time in the Word of God in prayer. I don't know that the devil hasn't fought me more in that area of my life than any other area. You go to sit down to read the Word of God, what happens? Come on. It happens to me. I know it happens to you. All kinds of interruptions. I mean, listen, people be texting, you calling, you coming by, in the house, out of the house. And then when you say, you know, I'm going to bow my head and you just meditate, 50 things will come to your mind that you need to be doing. Am I the only person that happens to? So, you know, you want to get along with God, right? And you just want to clear your mind and you want to spend some time with God and you want to tell God how much you love Him and how much you need Him and how you're sorry for failing Him and you just want to please Him and you just want to serve His people and do what's right. And then there's 50 things. And that grass is long. Yeah? Right? Probably need to cut that grass. Or, did you ever finish that project? Did you ever get back with so-and-so? Did you ever get this done? I'm not the only person that happens to, am I? If I am, man, alive, I'm discouraged. Okay, me and Junior. All right. It happens to you too. Let me close with this. I like verse 36. So Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hands of Moses. I think that's good. They followed him. All right, Moses is doing it in chapter number 8. You got that? Here's the last truth I want to give you. In chapter 9, I want you to go home and read chapter 9. Maybe you did this past week. There's this statement that's made that reminds us that we're not doing this for each other. We're not just doing it for the people. And God wanted Aaron and his sons to realize that. Look at the statement. Look at the latter part of verse number 2. You see those last three words? Before the Lord. Look at the latter part of verse number 5. Before the Lord. Look at the latter part of verse number, or right there in verse number 21, a wave offering before the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 21, you see it? And then verse 24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord. What's God saying? God's saying when you serve, you remember who you're serving before. You're serving before the Lord. You're not serving to please man. We're not man pleasers. We're God pleasers. So as we serve, we have to remember who we're serving and why we're serving. We're doing this before the Lord. When you read through chapter 9, something very interesting takes place. In chapter 8, Moses is showing the Aaron and the sons of Aaron, this is how you do it. And he consecrates them. He consecrates them. Remember the ram of consecration in verse number 22 of chapter 8? They're cleansed, they're clothed, they're consecrated. Ta-da! You know what happens in chapter 9? They go to work. They do something. Read it. They start carrying out the office of the priest and the priesthood. See, Moses was showing them how to do it in chapter number 8. And then after they got consecrated, then they started doing it. You know what a lot of people do? And you can stand as we close this. A lot of people learn how to do it and never do it. I've worked with them. I've pastored them. I've just told you what God expects. You learn through Bible teaching and preaching. This is what God has called you to do. God has called us to serve Him and bring glory to His name. And we learn the biblical guidelines to do it, but now we have to do it. Right? I mean, we don't just learn how to do it and say, well, you know, if I ever decide one day that I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it that way. No, God consecrates us for service to do it. And so we have to get to work, right? I think that it's time that as Christians, we set aside the bibs and pick up the aprons. What do you think? You think it's time to set aside the bibs and quit thinking it's got to be about us or I'm going to cry and get my bib wet? And I'm not being mean to you. I'm just saying that a lot of times this is what happens to Christians. You know, everything doesn't go the way. So I'm through with church. I'm through with serving God. That's it, right? I mean, that's what it's about. Everything didn't go your way, so you quit. Why don't you put that bib in the drawer and pull out an apron and go to work? Go to work. Put on a working apron, put that baby bib up, and you can do something. Now, I don't mean you personally. Now, maybe you if you need that. But sometimes Christians amaze me. How about you? The least little old things, they're just ready to, hey, listen, God means more to me than that. I'm not all that, but listen, I want to serve God with my life. And I believe you do. So if the devil's giving you a bib to put on, no. Get an apron from God and go to work. Let's bow our heads. The priest